Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to have a pretty intense conversation with Robert David Steele. We are going to be talking about Trump's war, his strike on Syria, why the sudden change on his direction, on what he campaigned on compared to what he's doing now. Why is that going on? He campaigned to not escalate tensions around the world, and he's done exactly that. So why is that? Robert David Steele has extensive background in the CIA, the military. He's written many books. He also was just recently nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, which I think is very interesting. Because I don't have time to get to this whole interview, the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so, where he introduces himself on how you can get a hold of him, I want to let you know that you can get his books and all his information at robertdavidsteele.com or on my website at sarahwestall.com, and I'll have contact information there as well. So I want to get right into this interview with Robert David Steele.
Hi, Robert. Welcome back to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be with you.
There is so much going on, and I wanted to talk to you about, I wanted your opinion on all the things that are going on lately. Let's start with this. Trump campaigned with an agenda to refrain from war, in particular with Syria and, you know, other places as well. We've had war just constant. He also vowed to put an end to ISIS, which there has been some developments lately in Afghanistan with this huge bomb they just had in Afghanistan. But why has there been a change of direction with the latest strike in Syria?
Well, first off, the gas event in Syria was a false flag. And to his enormous credit, the new CIA director, Mike Pompeo, who was first in his class at West Point, which is a considerable achievement, got it right. He told Trump it was a false flag that should not be responded to. And Trump responded by disinviting Director Pompeo from the decision meeting on the strike. So there are basically three reasons why Trump has shot missiles at Syria, which is absolutely unconstitutional. Never mind that Obama did it a lot. The fact is, under Trump, we were hoping the Constitution would be restored. So fact number one, or possibility number one, is that Trump was always a deep state candidate, and he was kind of the safety in case Hillary Clinton imploded. And he's now showing his true colors. I hope that's not the case. Possibility number two is that Trump is being lied to. And that we now know. I have an inside source on the staff of one of the named individuals. Israel and Saudi Arabia paid for not just this first false flag, but according to Vladimir Putin, multiple additional false flags that will occur between now and 1 June, which is the target date for the neocons in Israel forcing the United States to put 150,000 troops into Syria, which is the beginning of World War III. This is just pure insanity. John McCain, former CIA Director John Brennan, and General Herbert McMaster, the National Security Advisor of the United States of America, have conspired with David Petraeus, former general, disgraced David Petraeus, who works for the Zionist firm KKR in New York City. And they have negotiated directly with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel and with the royal family in Saudi Arabia. The false flag attack was paid for by Saudi Arabia and Israel, and it was facilitated and encouraged by the U.S. neoconservatives. They are doing precisely the same thing that General Wesley Clark announced on YouTube that was done for Iraq.
Well, so Syria was, before this whole civil war and before everything that was going on, it was a peaceful, prosperous nation with people living side by side. Why do we care about Syria? They didn't seem to be a threat to us. Is it oil? Is it the
In the Syria case, it's a pipeline and it's a religious split. Now, let's go back to Libya, which was a peaceful, prosperous nation with plenty of gold, plenty of oil, and plenty of water. Hillary Clinton sold Libya to the French. The French made donations to the Clinton Foundation, and Clinton sold Libya to the French. What the French wanted was a better deal on oil prices that Libya wasn't willing to give them. So France, with the help of the United States and, of course, the CIA, destroyed Libya because the French wanted a better deal on oil. Now, what people don't realize, we call this true cost economics, is Libya was actually holding back all the refugees from Europe and taking care of them and controlling that flow across the Mediterranean. So when we destroyed Libya, we not only started the process of creating ISIS, combining various remnants, including the Sunni officers that were brutally disenfranchised when idiot, whatever his name was, Paul Bremer, closed the Iraqi army. And so we shut down the one safety valve that we had between North Africa and Europe. Libya was a very important safety valve. In the case of Syria, what you have is a regime that has been friendly to Russia and Iran since time immemorial. This is a long-term thing. A while ago, a water war started in Syria as an internal civil war over water. And instead of doing the strategically intelligent thing, which is moving solar energy and water desalination capabilities into the region, which we should also have done in Somalia and Yemen, we basically saw an opportunity to allow Syria to deteriorate to the point that we could do a regime change. The United States of America has no business doing regime change operations. And Donald Trump is breaking his promises to every American by doing what he has done. Now, the third possibility on the missile attack is that Donald Trump is an extraordinarily clever player who is in 3D chess mode when the rest of us are in checkers. There are every indication that this missile attack was prearranged with Russia and Syria, with Assad and Putin. The airbase that was struck was abandoned. Abandoned by prearrangement, Sarah. Abandoned by prearrangement, okay? And, of course, the runway was left completely intact. Now, the Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, has recently lied to the public and said that all of the missiles hit the target. Jim Mattis is a liar. All of the missiles did not hit the target. In fact, only 39% of the missiles hit the target, which if I were president or Secretary of Defense, the next time Raytheon goes to sell me anything, I'm going to say, well, we'll pay 39% of list price because that's your proven track record.
Well, it sounds like obviously there was either a problem with the attack, incompetence, or there was something else going on, like what you're talking about.
The missiles didn't work. The other possibility is that some of the missiles were turned around in flight or destroyed in flight by passive Russian electromagnetic defenses. Russia has two kinds of defenses against cruise missiles, and the Syrians have the Russian proxy weapons. Kind number one is shoot the other missile down with a missile. Kind number two is an electromagnetic hack, which basically makes the missile stupid and turns it around and disorients it and causes it to explode. So one is active, the other one is passive. I'm not sure what's going on other than this. Number one, Donald Trump is lying to the public about the fact that the sarin gas attack was a false flag attack. An MIT professor has just done an absolutely, utterly superb job of tearing apart the so-called DOD brief on how this was an attack by Assad. This was not an attack by Assad. And I just have a tip of the hat to this MIT professor. Let's see what his name is. Theodore Postol. And this has just been published by UNCE. Just like I tore John Brennan apart on Russians hacking the election, which was a lie, Professor Postol has torn the White House and the Department of Defense apart on this was a gas attack by Sadat. It was not. The White House is lying to the public. The Secretary of Defense is lying to the public. And so also is the Secretary of State lying to the public.
What would be the point? What would be the point of that, though? I mean, what other than maybe him playing chess and we're all playing checkers and he has a bigger agenda going on? Other than that, why would we be doing this?
The only two, the three reasons I can think of is Donald Trump has been bribed by Lynn Rothschild, and he's now the Rothschild bitch. Okay, I'm sorry, but this is really ugly. And during the election, a number of very senior intelligence analysts who were looking for the hidden planet explanation for why Trump kept self-destructing every time he was starting to pull ahead of Hillary Clinton came to the conclusion that he can be bought by the Rothschilds for $20 billion. His actual net worth right now is roughly $2 billion. His gross worth is $5 billion, but he owes $3 billion. Okay? So he's small potatoes in the big billionaire world. Donald Trump, I humbly submit, can be bought. And it's possible that he was bought to do this because Goldman Sachs made some bad bets on oil futures. Oil is at around $51 a barrel. Goldman Sachs bet on oil being high toward $200. The easiest way for Goldman Sachs to basically cover its bets is to start a war in the Middle East. This is, of course, consistent with Israel's long-running plan to balkanize the Middle East and to take out Syria. They have wanted Syria gone for a long time. They have been planning the death of Syria since the 1980s. All right. Now, Donald Trump could also have done this, if he's being clever, to silence the neoconservatives, silence the media, buy himself some breathing room, and at the same time test all of his advisors on whether they were telling the truth or not and where they fall on this spectrum of America first or Israel first. Right now, the alt-right is about to abandon Donald Trump. And if the alt-right abandons Donald Trump, he's gone. There is nothing he can do. In fact, he would not only be impeached by the Democrats, he would be impeached by the Democrats combined with the Tea Party Patriots. Okay? I mean, this is really serious, sick stuff.
I think people are upset with him doing this war and escalating the war in Syria. People on all sides, people don't want this. And they don't agree with what...
Trump has united the tribes.
Yeah.
He's agreeing with the right.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you brought up General Wesley Clark, and I want to come back to that because he famously discussed that the U.S. would attack 7 countries in 5 years, okay? Yes. Syria was on that list. Libya was on that list. They've been systematically attacking all these things. Is this part of that grand strategy, and why is that? Is it related to resources or the central banking issue? Because those countries don't have central banks either.
That's an extraordinarily interesting and useful observation. Syria is about Israel first. It's about Saudi Arabia wanting a pipeline to the sea. Hillary Clinton sold Yemen and Syria to Saudi Arabia for tens of millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. And I personally speculate $1 billion into an offshore account. Okay. I mean, Hillary Clinton has not been properly, the Clintons, including Chelsea, who is indictable as well, have not been properly investigated. And Charles Ortel has done a phenomenal job of financial forensics on the Clinton Foundation and demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Clinton Foundation is the world's biggest charity fraud, bar none, okay, in cahoots with the Bush family. Syria has been a target for the neocons, and I credit Peter Dale Scott with writing the original book on the deep state. The deep state is not just unelected officials in Washington. They are the best of the servant class. The deep state is the Trilateral Commission, the Rothschilds, the Vatican, and then through them, the main banks in the City of London and Wall Street, which manipulate foreign exchange rates and interest rates with impunity in order to cover their bets. And then down from them, you come to the two-party tyranny in each country. The only honest party in the United Kingdom right now is the United Kingdom Independence Party. The other two parties are basically in cahoots with the banks, just like the Republicans and Democrats are in cahoots with the banks here. I had to run for president to find out that we have 8 accredited parties in the United States. The other 6 are blocked from ballot access: Green, Libertarian, on natural law, reform, and socialist. I think I'm missing one. Green, independence. Oh, Constitution. Constitution mm-hmm. Party, very small party. Okay. So we don't have an honest functioning democracy in the United States of America. What we have, I think, is a melding of Israeli Zionist interests, not the good people of Israel, not the 9 million American Jews that are irrelevant to any political conversation in America. Our 9 million Jews don't carry enough weight to sway the U.S. government. The power of Israel in the U.S. is based on bribery and blackmail. And Jeffrey Epstein, a Mossad agent, and Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of Robert Maxwell, there's a great book about him, Robert Maxwell, Israeli super spy. They're both Mossad agents. For the last 10 years, they have been videotaping American politicians doing bad things to children of both sexes. That's where Lolita Island comes in, and that's where the No Name Hotel, some of which may be in the Trump Tower under Epstein's control, comes in. So we have a very, very deep problem right now. And unless Donald Trump climbs out of it in the next week or so, I anticipate a We the People coalition being launched in May, which brings together the libertarians, the Greens, the independents, the Constitution. We're actually going out to Ralph Buchanan, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Jesse Ventura, Ralph Nader, Virgil Good, de Blasio and Jill Stein on the left. And we're proposing to them, well, this is Cynthia McKinney is my partner in this. I love her. She is absolutely a goddess and an honest, decent person. We are together on this. We're co-chairs of the new Political Action Committee. And where we're going with this is we're going to have one capital demand, the Electoral Reform Act of 2017. And our goal is to put 10 people into the House and 2 people into the Senate who refuse to caucus with either of the two parties. We want to create a swing vote that brings integrity back into our Congress. And then we want to run as a coalition. We'll let the people decide who they want, but we're actually pushing. Part of the Electoral Reform Act is every candidate running in 2020 is going to be required to name their cabinet in advance and to provide a balanced budget in advance. And then we will have cabinet level debates and the public will be able to scrutinize the proposed budgets of each candidate. Donald Trump right now looks like switch and bait.
It does. It looks like he sold a certain thing to the public. And then when he first came in, though, it was great. And
Yes, it was.
It almost seems like somebody got to him.
Yes.
That's how it appears, like he's changed.
Yes. And option A is that Lynn Rothschild got to him. Now, one of the things most people don't know is that Al Gore sold out for $100 million, and Sidney Blumenthal was in the room when Al Gore sold out. Warren Christopher brought him the offer from Wall Street, $100 million. You roll over and play dead for the theft of the election in Florida, and you'll be rich beyond your dreams. And so it came to pass. The lesson that Blumenthal took from that meeting, which he relayed to Hillary Clinton, is that presidential candidates can be bought for the right price. Now, Donald Trump is way beyond 100 million. I and several other senior intelligence analysts looked at what would it take to buy Donald Trump. And the answer we came up with was 20 billion free and clear, because that allows him to give each of his kids a couple of billion. And, you know, it's like game over for him. He can retire. Option number two is that Donald Trump is being blackmailed. There are two blackmail stories on the market. Blackmail story number one, which I'm inclined to not believe, is that Donald Trump is on video raping and then killing a little girl named Mary. And the name Mary is very explicitly being used in this circle of threat to Donald Trump. The other threat that is running around is that the Israelis have a nuclear device somewhere in the United States, similar to what they probably on a nuclear plant. Similar to what they did or may have done with Fukushima, because all of the things that were installed in Fukushima were Israeli. They may be telling Donald Trump he is going to have a nuclear disaster if he doesn't play ball with them. And then third and last, you have the fact that Donald Trump is being lied to. He's being lied to by Jared Kushner. He's being lied to by McMaster. The only guy not lying to Donald Trump is Steve Bannon. And Trump just gave Bannon a public spanking. So I'm really, really concerned. Now, I really have to say that the guy that comes out of this shining like a bright light in addition to Steve Bannon is Mike Pompeo. I really am so proud of him because I've been heartbroken over CIA. And I tell you very candidly, I want to close down the rest of the intelligence community, cut CIA in half, and then build it back up again, only with the Directorate of Signals Intelligence, a Directorate of Imagery Intelligence, an open source agency, a National Processing Center. the country needs CIA. But Joe Biden is full of crap when he says that our intelligence community is a crown jewel. It's not. It's a large cow pie with a few gold flakes. And so I'm one of the guys that knows where those gold flakes are. William Binney from NSA is another. So Pompeo, God bless him. He did it right. And I'm so proud of him. Donald Trump right now is doing it wrong. I don't know what the explanation is. I have spoken with a number of alt-right people. I've spoken with Cynthia McKinney. Our bottom line is he has until the 1st of May to get a grip. After the 1st of May, I believe this country will say, thank you, Trump, but we're going to have Trumpism without Trump. We're going to have the movement without the man. Well, and Justin Raimondo.
Don't you think we need what you guys are talking about anyways? I mean, we really need to bring integrity back into the process, because whether you have Trump or not, he's just one person. We need a whole system that has integrity.
I will go to my grave blessing Donald.
Oh, it stopped.
Okay.
So you repeat that. You'll go to your grave.
Blessing Donald Trump for opening the door. Okay? Because until Donald Trump came about, I was being silenced and marginalized. For 30 years, the intelligence community and the political community and the financial community have chosen to ignore my cries for integrity. And if you look over all of my published works and my latest two books, they all say that the only thing missing that's needed to make America great again is integrity. Now, I thought Donald Trump was potentially going to allow us to have integrity again. What I see now is that, and Justin Raimondo really does a good job of this, Donald Trump doesn't understand that we elected the idea, not the man. We elected the concept of burying the deep state, not the man with the bouffant haircut. Okay? And so I also am very conscious of the fact, because I'm one of the guys that supported Trump since July of 2015. I wrote the original article in Counterpunch, Countercoup, How Donald Trump Can Win. I've written the 10-piece Trump Revolution series on Amazon Kindle. And every one of those titles is free online if you look for the title. So I'm not plugging books. Okay, I've got too many morons thinking that because I write a lot of books, I'm always plugging them. I don't do that. I do that to share knowledge. Donald Trump hired Rince Priebus in part to settle the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is half of the two-party tyranny that supports the deep state. Rince Priebus is a traitor. We call him Judas Priebus in the alt-right movement. I sent Judas Priebus a 10-page memorandum that was subsequently published at Zero Hedge and also at The Mind Unleashed as Spy's Christmas Message for Donald Trump. And it outlined how Donald Trump could have used his inauguration speech to unrig the system. The first sentence was, the system is rigged, and together, all of us, every American, will unrig the system. Rince Priebus threw that memo in the trash. He did not deliver it, because Rince Priebus is the deep state. Rince Priebus is absolutely committed to keeping Donald Trump from unrigging the deep state at the same time that the 9 or 10 people that Goldman Sachs has working for Donald Trump are committed to keeping him from taxing Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Okay? So Trump is surrounded by traitors. He also made some bad calls in terms of allowing his daughter and Jared Kushner way too much influence. These are well-intentioned people with promise, but they are naive in the one case and way too subject to Zionist influence in the other. I think Jared Kushner should be sent to a nunnery, which is what we in the CIA say. When someone has talents but they can't be trusted with policy, you go put them someplace where they can do good, but they're not influencing policy. Ivanka, I've called her the incarnation of John F. Kennedy Jr. I think she actually has enormous potential as a crossover candidate.
Yes, she does.
You can bring together the left and the right. But how stupid do you have to be to think that these photos are real? Okay, they're not real. I mean, I'm not sure they were Photoshopped, but they're not real. Okay, and so.
But they had to have known that, right? I mean, Trump is not that. And it's just so ridiculous with so many people being killed in Syria. This seems, as horrible as it was, it really seems like small potatoes.
It is small potatoes. And let me point out to you that this brilliant professor from MIT, which has restored my faith in academics, I think he has done a great job. He's demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was a ground attack with an improvised device. It was not an air attack by Saddam, by Assad's airplanes. Okay. Now, I have taken on the U.S. intelligence community three times in my life. The first time, for your listeners' benefit, was in front of the Aspen Brown Commission, when I was asked to take on the entire U.S. intelligence community in a benchmark exercise on Burundi. I beat the hell out of the entire U.S. intelligence community with six phone calls. They knew nothing about Burundi. With six phone calls, I pulled in Russian maps, French imagery, Oxford Analytica studies, the top 100 academics in the world identified by LexisNexis, or no, by Dialogue Rank Command, the Institute of Scientific Information, and the top 10 journalists reporting on Burundi from LexisNexis. And I think there was one other thing in there. The bottom line is the U.S. intelligence community is in the business of lying. They're not in the business of doing global coverage and providing decision support on everything. In the case of John Brennan, I've said on Russia Today television that John Brennan accomplished in 90 days what I have failed to do in 30 years. He got the public to understand that the intelligence community cannot be trusted, that the mainstream media is a fake news media, and not quite accomplished, but beginning to bubble up that the two-party tyranny is in fact in the service of the banks of the 1%, not the 99%. We're on the verge of a revolution here in the United States of America. And I believe that alt-right, if Cynthia McKinney helps me bring in the people of color, and I'm a white Latino, if I can help with other Latinos bring in the Latinos, we can combine the alt-right, the people of color, the Latinos, the Sandinista students with student debt, and the elderly with medical debt. And if Donald Trump will not take our hand, then we will have the movement without the man.
Well, can you tell me what the point of World War III would do for us? Yeah, you're smiling, because I don't understand what... It seems like we're marching very quickly towards war. I'm hearing the war drums beat in the mass media.
Yes.
And it scares the heck out of me because I don't see any benefit to a World War III. Now, do you see that as economic benefit?
See, the problem that you're having is the problem that most people have. They think that wars are started for or against. It's not about us. Okay? World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Mexican War, all of these wars are bankers' wars. Now, General Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine in history at the time, and this is a book that General Mattis has probably read, but he needs to read it again. General Smedley Butler wrote a book called War is a Racket. And in that book, he said very specifically that the way this works is banks make bad loans, like to the Dominican Republic or to Haiti or whatever. Or you have a situation like the Congo, where a decent president with integrity comes in and nationalizes the mines and tells all of the foreign companies trying to bribe him that he's not going to sell out the Congolese inheritance. I'm reading now David Talbot's excellent book, The Devil's Chessboard, and I just read last night the page where President Ike Eisenhower was starting to go senile and personally authorized the execution of the president of the Congo because he thought the guy was a communist because he had been lied to. Okay? Donald Trump's problem is he's out of touch with reality. He doesn't have people giving him decent information, and he is smart, but he's overconfident in his smartness because you're only as smart as your sources, your processing, and your red team.
Well, you need people around you that gives you good information. If you don't have the good information, you're in trouble.
You also need people around you that will say no.
Mm-hmm.
That will say, Mr. President, get your head out of your ass. This is not the way it is. He doesn't have that person. Steve Bannon was that person, but Donald Trump couldn't take the heat.
That's not good. You need somebody who's going to give you that pushback and tell you that you need to.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now, if this is a banker's wars, which they all are, then is this to get out of the financial issues we're having? Because we are very weak financially. Mathematically, it's going to come to an end at some point if we don't turn things around. Other countries are really fragile as well. So, you know, the European Union is very fragile. Now, would World War III be an attempt to deal with those issues?
World War III would be an attempt to kick the can down the road. Now, let me explain that we're not in as bad a financial situation as you might think if Donald Trump were able to follow the many suggestions that have been made to him. One of them has been a debt jubilee. The banks have already gotten their principal back. They're just sucking blood from the stone with interest. Okay? And a very smart person, one of my gifts is to attract ideas from smart people. And a very smart person, so this is not my idea, a very smart person came to me and said, what if Donald Trump created a website, Debt Be Gone, and every American that owes money appoints Donald Trump as their personal agent for renegotiation?
Oh, great. I lost you.
American,
okay.
Including the students and the elderly and the families and small businesses signed up. That would give Donald Trump $3 trillion of debt renegotiation power. Now imagine Donald Trump going to Wall Street and says, boys, you're going to cut the debt in half, or I'm going to declare a debt jubilee and every American gets a presidential pardon. How do you like them apples?
It would work.
Yes, it would work. Now, does Donald Trump have the brains and the balls to do this? The jury's still out.
Well, the people would love him if he did that, although...
Yes, they would. Let's let Sarah, please say that again.
The people would love him if he'd do that, although there would be a very, very concerted effort to in the media to talk about how stupid that is and how we would be influencing people to be not responsible.
Yes. And one of the reasons why my memorandum to the president has been read by over 2 million people, there's actually two memorandums, each one has been read a million times. I put together a bunch of ideas that come together, okay? The Electoral Reform Act is how Trump neutralizes George Soros and the Clintons and Obama, who are in an active state of sedition. Loretta Lynch is on television saying she wants blood in the streets. Mm-hmm. She is inciting people to riot, which is a crime. And I pointed out that George Soros is getting ready for a violent American spring in which we have Berkeley times 1,000. And I've pointed out that the governors and mayors are not Donald Trump's friends. They're part of the deep state. Okay? So an Electoral Reform Act plus Debt Be Gone plus a Trump channel. Now there's altgov.com and there's pollmole.vote. Is a new appendage for me. I didn't know that existed. So POLLMOLE, pollmole.vote. These two guys are talking and I'm helping them. We've got it set up now so that we can bury Google, Facebook, and Twitter, and we can have our own system that American citizens opt into that is free, of course, and also that has blockchain encryption and cannot be censored. We have a Google Gestapo racketeering conspiracy going on right now, where everyone in favor of Donald Trump is losing ad revenue and is being repressed. With our system, Trump could do a trumpet out to the public and get back 150 million answers onto a single presidential screen, and then be able to drill down by congressional district, demographic issue, and so forth. This would be the world's first interactive digital democratic platform. And I'm not impressed by CrowdWise or CrowdSwarm or whatever Peter Thiel just bought, okay? None of these people have a clue. What you actually have to have is something that integrates education on the issues, town hall conversations at all levels with vote up and crossovers and stuff like that, and finally, true cost economics. Most of the discussions in the United States of America take place without a single whit of knowledge about what it actually costs, what the true life cycle cost is. Okay? So, commercial intelligence. So we have a very dumbed down public. So answering your concern about the media, you know what? I no longer watch television. I now use my third screen as a backstop for my date calendar, for my calendar. Okay? Fox News, Three Idiots in the Morning, Five at Night. CNN, Chris Cuomo has deep, deep issues from his childhood because his father was in Donald Trump's pocket. Okay? Basically, Donald Trump owned the Cuomo family. I mean, these are all conflicts of interest. But the fact is, none of the mainstream media channels, with the possible exception of Lou Dobbs and a couple of others, are serious. They're not offering the public what they need. So my construct is kind of a blending of education, intelligence, media, research. We need to create a smart nation and a world brain. And one of the proposals to Donald Trump was that he create an open source agency. I've spent 30 years pioneering an open source agency. I'm about to have a discussion with India about creating a post-Western engineering model, which is open source everything engineering. It costs $25,000 to build a John Deere tractor without John Deere instead of $250,000.
So who have you been talking to in other countries? Because I know other countries are listening to you and meeting with you, whereas you're not getting as much traction getting the White House to talk to you.
I have to give Russia credit. The Russian International Affairs Council has been listening to me, and I've blogged there. And in fact, Russia and India are coming up on their 70th anniversary, and there's a meeting between Putin and Modi. And I have been able to insert this idea because the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and they really ought to add Indonesia, the BRICS have an alternative economic model now. They have a new reserve currency. They have a new World Bank. They have a new World Development Center and so forth. They do not have an alternative engineering construct. So I've just published a blog in multiple places, but primarily at the Russian International Affairs Council, on a post-Western economic engineering paradigm in which India becomes the center for creating an open source everything engineering alternative to all Western technologies that are now handicapped by financial and legal constraints. Okay? And the John Deere tractor is a really good one because John Deere, you pay $250,000 and you don't own the tractor. You don't own the software. They own the software. And if it breaks in the field, you have to get a very expensive trailer to take it to a very expensive repair facility where they do their magic, which they own, and then they give it back to you and they still own the tractor. An open source tractor, which Marcin Jakubowski has created from Open Source Ecology, an open source tractor costs 10%. It costs $25,000 instead of $250,000. And it is so simple, parts can be replaced in the field by the farmer themselves where the tractor is.
Well, okay,
this is huge.
Don't you think it's like this on a lot of different fronts, especially like medicine? There's a lot of things going on in medicine in different countries that is not happening here. Other countries are farther along in things. Maybe we might be doing some of the initial research, but we can't develop it here.
Sarah, the United States of America is inherently dishonest. Okay. There's an excellent book that I reviewed called The Cheating Culture. And Carl Denninger has published a prescription for an actual health reform package that's honest. Donald Trump's health care reform, Paul Ryan's health care reform, Obama's health care reform were all inherently dishonest because they refused to address the fundamental fact that there's no price list in American health care. It's a Las Vegas crapshoot. You pay whatever has been negotiated with your insurance company, the hospital, whatever. So an operation that costs $5,000 in Arkansas can cost $90,000 in Beverly Hills. All right? We have an inherently dishonest health industry, energy industry, education industry, military industry. They're all dishonest. And we are spilling 50% everywhere.
Okay, well, how do you get the average citizen to start engaging in this? Because there still is a lot. I mean, there's so much out there, and you just can't get the average person to open up their mind and start engaging in real conversation to make this country better and to get past some of this crap.
You have just hit on why I have been trying so hard to get Donald Trump to take our hand. Because Donald Trump is gifted at taking the show on the road. And one of the things that I suggested, which Judas Priebus kept from Trump, is that he announce the Electoral Reform Act and then go on the road, 50 states in 30 days, getting the country to understand. And I realized this when Tom Steyer announced that he had spent $74 million on climate change legislation and got nothing for it. And remember, I ran for president, so I've had some experience here in trying to think through all of this. And of course, I'm a failed political scientist. The reality is that no issue is ever going to get an honest hearing in Washington unless we have electoral reform first. I don't care whether it's gays or guns or God or germs or whatever. No issue in Washington will ever be decided honestly. Even if Trump were honest by himself, the Congress is dishonest to the bone, because the Congress passes legislation based on what 40 specific billionaires identified by USA Today tell them they want.
Well, how about this? When other countries get so far ahead in medicine and other areas that we start seeing the regular people start seeing how much farther they're along, how much healthier they are, and that we are being suppressed on things that we really need as a people. Do you think, because I agree with you 100%, we need the reform so we can start having these debates. But if that doesn't happen, which I hope it does, but the alternative is we get to see it through other means when other people are way ahead of us.
One of the problems I have with America right now is 47% did not vote at all. And when you get right down to it, I'd say roughly 80% of America is tuned out. They're beaten down. They're focused on other things. They're not paying attention. And one of the things that I had hoped Trump would do was energize democracy. And one of the problems that I think I have with Steve Bannon is that he is delusional in thinking that Trump won by a landslide and that as long as the Republican Party controls both houses, Trump can ignore the 73% that did not vote for him. That consists of the 26% that hate him, who voted for Hillary, and the 47% that did not vote at all. Sorry, that's one of my meetings. So I really cannot overstress the fact that I would like to see Donald Trump come to his senses, get a grip on his integrity, and reconnect with the American people, not just the alt-right that he's betrayed. The alt-right is very angry at Donald Trump right now. He's our president. He is our legitimately elected president. But I'm sorry to say right now he has his head way up his ass, and he's not talking to the rest of America. And so my prayer for him is that he will get serious fast. If he does not, the Political Action Committee, We the People, will be launched on the 1st of May with Cynthia McKinney and myself as the co-chair. And we will reach out to every other representative, from Virgil Good to Jill Stein to Ralph Nader to Patrick Buchanan, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Bill de Blasio. I know all of these people, okay? We are going to try and create a coalition with one united goal: to restore integrity to the government of the United States.
Which would be nice. Well, let me ask you this. It seems that every president that runs lately, Obama did this, I'm not sure if Bush ran on this, but Clinton did, and Trump did, on reducing the amount of wars and fighting and being a different type of, you know, president. Obama came in and he escalated. Trump looks like he's escalating. Clinton, we know he did. So what happens to them? Now, they either lie to the public just to get in, or something happens once they're in.
I think something happened to him. Let me tell you a true story that I regret that I forget the source. Jimmy Carter did not realize that he was basically a hand-picked deep state president. And when he was elected, he really thought he had been elected to be president. And between Election Day and Inauguration Day, he created a list of cabinet members that he wanted. And this was like best in class, best in the world, really true people. Then a Rockefeller representative came down and looked at the list and says, no, you're not going to do this. This is your cabinet, and handed him the list. And I'm told Jimmy Carter cried his heart out that day. Okay. Donald Trump is the first president since John F. Kennedy that could arguably be said to not be a deep state president. However, he's very rapidly turning into a deep state president. Whether it's bribery or blackmail or lies, I'm not sure. What I am sure is that Donald Trump is not talking to me, Cynthia McKinney, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul, Patrick Buchanan, and all the others who want to help him, but are being shut out.
Yeah, it seems so odd that it makes you feel like he was lying, right? And that he goes in there and then switches. So I'm hoping, I want to be optimistic, that he is either being lied to, or I don't want to think he was blackmailed. That's terrible. The best option is he's being lied to, and he just needs to get better direction and start paying attention to other people. But the alternatives are really bad. That's the only good alternative, which isn't really a good alternative.
Let's look on the positive side. You know, I'm a student of revolution. I did my first graduate thesis at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, on the subject of predicting revolution. And one of the things that you find is that revolutions happen when three general conditions come together. The first is concentrated wealth and a loss of faith in the government. These are the two big ones. The second is law enforcement decides to no longer support the elite. And Chris Hedges has written very well about that, and I think Wages of Rebellion or something like that. The third is when the public has seen the light and seen the possibility and it's taken away from them. Donald Trump, to his eternal, everlasting credit, I will go to my grave thanking Donald Trump and Steve Brennan, for what they have done for America. Steve Brennan single-handedly destroyed the reputation of the U.S. intelligence community such that I might have a chance to rebuild it. That's a good thing. And Donald Trump single-handedly brought forward, with a little help from me and some others, the idea that the deep state could be defeated by integrity. Now, if Donald Trump lets us down, we'll go forward with the movement and not the man. But I really have to emphasize, he's a legitimate sitting president. This would work better if he would get a grip and take our hand.
He could be, and I know he cares about this more than money, I would hope, he could be, in the long run, the best president that ever came, that we ever had, if he can restore integrity to the United States.
You need to take that tiny little clip out and tweet it to @RealDonaldTrump.
I
think you'll like it.
It's true, and it's more important than money. Who cares?
I have been saying for months that Donald Trump could be the greatest president in modern American history. All of his campaign gut instincts, pull out of NATO, stop supporting the United Nations. And by the way, the United Nations basically is a massive bureaucracy of thieves. And it doesn't actually deliver money to the village level. You can take 20% of the money that the United Nations spends and deliver it to the village level in electronic banking form, which is Ashraf Ghani's big idea from Afghanistan, together with Claire Lockhart. Their book, Fixing Failed States, is a very good book. All of his instincts were good in the campaign. And everything he said, including the president's daily brief, is crap and not worth his time. He's right. Now, all of a sudden, as you say, Sarah, he's changed. Whether he's been blackmailed or he's under mind control, which CIA has taken that to a whole new level, but it's also out of the bag. It's not just CIA. Yale sells it to everybody. So Soros and Blackwater and all these other bad people have it. There are many different ways in which Donald Trump could have been flipped. I don't know what happened. The last possibility is that he's being really clever and he's going to have a Wednesday night massacre, a Thursday night massacre, or a massacre this weekend. If he gets rid of McMaster and he moves Jared and Ivanka out of the White House, he restores Steve Bannon and he brings in Cynthia McKinney and a couple of others, my faith is at least restored for the summer. If he does not do that, my personal opinion is that Donald Trump is a lame duck. If he puts 150,000 troops into Syria, we start a revolution right away and he's gone. He will be impeached, not only by the Democrats, but by everybody else.
Nobody wants the war.
Nobody wants
a war.
You're absolutely right. And we've now learned, Obama, you know, fool me once, fool me twice. All right, we're on about our sixth fool. I mean, we had George Bush Jr., who was hijacked by Dick Cheney. Excellent book, Vice, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. In my review, I itemized 23 impeachable acts that Dick Cheney committed. So you have Dick Cheney and George Bush, then you have Obama, and now you have Trump with Mike Pence, the deep state vice president in waiting. So it's an interesting situation. Bottom line for me is that Trump could go either way. I mean, Trump has the power to return to the goodness and the light. He also has the power to go completely dark. And I think it will be clear to all of us by the 1st of May whether Donald Trump is going to come back to the people or sell his soul to the dark state, to the deep state.
Well, you know, I did a thing on the number of veterans, number of military folks who have committed suicide. And it's a very dark subject. And the number of veterans who have committed suicide has eclipsed the losses that we've had in Vietnam. And yeah, it's terrible. And it's approaching World War One, and this is using their numbers. We're not yet to World War Two. We have some time to get there. It's so bad.
It's 22 a day.
Yeah, it's 22 a day, and that's the numbers I used. Some people think it's 32 a day. I graphed out 22 a day. I graphed out the higher number, and either way, using either number, it's eclipsed the Vietnam losses. And when we have that many casualties, I think that's casualties of war. Personally, because they just can't handle what they've seen.
It is. But let me make a big, important point. The only place in the United States of America where death with dignity is possible is the state of Oregon. I was just down in Florida, and my father, who is 89, looks like something that would be in the last day of a death camp. And Florida does not allow euthanasia because Florida has created this massive industry of sucking the last drop of blood out of elderly people. And so you're not allowed to die in Florida. They try and keep you alive very expensively for as long as possible, even if you're comatose in bed. Okay? A lot of our veterans are killing themselves because our healthcare system is a failure and because they're not allowed to choose death with dignity. And because veterans have a pair of balls on them, including the women, they know how to kill themselves. And they take what for me is the most honorable route in the face of a failed government.
But that's still injury. That's still injury from the battlefield that they can't live with.
Yes, but I'm also telling you their suicides are in an indictment of the U.S. government.
Yes, it is. That's yes. We're in agreement. It's a very dark subject. But my point is it's just another point that we're too far into this and that we can't handle another World War. I don't think we could handle World War III as a people.
We can't handle another Iraq. Okay. I mean, Dick Cheney took us to war on the basis of 935 lies. And let me just point out that George Tenet, who I used to know, he was my peer, prostituted the office of the Director of Central Intelligence. And Colin Powell, who is still, in my estimation, one of our finest generals, sacrificed his integrity. Colin Powell and George Tenet supported Dick Cheney's telling 935 lies. They knew they were lies. And took us with $5 trillion. I could have given every one of the 5 billion people on the planet a warm, dry house with electricity and clean water and free internet. Okay? It was a banker's war, it was a Halliburton war. And I am really surprised that we're not on the Eastern Shore burning down Dick Cheney's house and hanging him by his toenails until he dies.
But see, that gets to my point that where will the average person start to engage in these conversations? Our talk here is so important, but we need people all over the country engaging in this and engaging in ethics, you know, engaging in what, you know, struggling on how to think about things.
I agree. And there are two people that have the right idea, along with Cynthia McKinney and myself. One is Del Spurlock. He's a man of color, former Deputy Secretary of Labor for Ronald Reagan. He and I are having breakfast tomorrow or Saturday. And Dell has been thinking about civics. We're not teaching civics anymore. One of the things the Universal Draft did was inculcate a sense of civics among all our citizens. And I want to restore the Universal Draft. I want to bring our Army home. I want to close all 1,000 of our bases overseas. We have 1,000 bases overseas, not for military force projection, but because that's how CIA smuggles gold, guns, drugs, cash, and small children for the elite. Those are lily pads. Okay. Closing those bases will wipe out 50 to 60% of the pedophilia that we're supporting with refugees and orphans and stuff, kids being brought back and the whole bit. I've just been appointed a commissioner on an international commission. It's a Hollywood type of commission rather than a legal commission. But we are going to publicize the fact that children are not only being trafficked, they're being exploited to include killing them for their bone marrow. Okay? There is, I cannot, you know, I'm an old spy. I mean, I know stuff. And the dark side is dark. And sadly, the FBI is a theatrical agency. They're not actually there to stop crime. They're there to pretend to stop crime or to create terrorists that they then arrest so that they can look like they're stopping terrorism. Okay, which we have a dysfunctional society, a dysfunctional economy, a dysfunctional government, and a dysfunctional media. I wrote a piece in Election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig. It was called Paradigms of Failure. There are eight major tribes. Eight. I have to count as a Marine. Okay, eight. There are eight major tribes in the United States. Academic, civil society, including labor unions and religions, commerce, especially small business, government, especially local, law enforcement, media, military, and nonprofit. All eight of those tribes have completely sacrificed their integrity. There is no one in those eight tribes that is actually standing up for doing what's right based on the truth. And that's where the intelligence community, in my humble opinion, should be the seed crystal for the truth. The intelligence community should be the arbiter of truth, but only if you can trust it. We can't trust it.
Well, I think there should be other, you know, some of these other pillars should stand up for truth. But I think that people don't want to hear it. They don't want to participate in it. They don't want to hear it. The dark is hard to hear. Let's be honest here. It's hard to hear about some of this dark stuff. I've been covering some of it. It's hard.
And it's not just hard because the dark stuff is in the service of the elite. I use the hashtag Google Gestapo, hashtag Google Gestapo. Eric Schmidt is leading a campaign to bury Pizzagate. Pizzagate scared the crap out of the elite. And I am sensing that WikiLeaks' next big leak is going to be about Republican pedophilia. Now, if we don't have an Electoral Reform Act and the Democrats can take back the House, whether by theft or just opposition to Trump, if you have a Republican pedophilia meltdown and four senators resign, commit suicide, or go to jail, the Senate will flip. And that means that in 2019, Donald Trump will be impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate, and Mike Pence will become president.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. It's just, it's really crazy times. We wouldn't be talking about stuff like this 20 years ago to this degree. It just, maybe you've been in the, maybe it was always bad.
But see, Sarah, what's interesting is I'm reading this book by Talbot. I can't recommend it highly enough, The Devil's Chessboard. CIA was created by Wall Street to create a secret lily pad inside the U.S. government from which to run the U.S. government. Now, there are over seven CIAs. There's a Saudi CIA, an Israeli CIA. CIA is fragmented, and there are rogue elements all over CIA. But one of the things that's most interesting to me is that everything Donald Trump is experiencing today, Alan Dulles put into play against John F. Kennedy. The media as a complicit partner of a false narrative, assassinations. People are being killed. You guys aren't seeing it in the media, but people are being killed. There is a war going on between the deep state and Trump state.
Who's being killed? Can you give us some examples?
I'm not going to. People are being killed, okay? My only regret is that Sotos and Schmidt are not among them. Because I think we have a real problem here. We have people inciting revolution in the United States for the sole purpose of looting the United States of America.
And that's all the time I have today. You can go to sarahwestall.com and hear the full interview there, or you can go to my YouTube channel and remember to subscribe and also subscribe to my newsletter because that goes out and gives you all the different shows that I've been doing over the past week and just kind of keeps you up to date on what I am doing. I want to let everybody know to have an amazing Easter and hopefully a great time with your family this weekend, and have a great rest of the day.